Hey everybody, welcome back to A Bald Move Prestige Film. This time we're talking about 1993's Searching for Bobby Fischer, which is a very small film, very small budget, didn't make a lot of money back in the day, didn't win many awards, but Jim and I have an affection for it. I don't know why. We're going to explore that here, but I know why we are wanting to see it, because we had just recently kind of marathoned The Queen's Gambit. And it got me thinking about chess films that I've liked before. This was the big one that stuck out in my mind. I'm like, I wonder if this is as good as I remember it. I watched it again, and I thought this thing held up like a champ. I think this is a very entertaining film. It's got a lot of heart. It's got a really good young cast. It's got a Larry Fish, Lawrence Fishburne in his prime as a streetwise, possibly homeless speed chess hustler. It's got Ben Kingsley as kind of an emotionally abused Obi-Wan Kenobi that's trying to teach a Luke Skywalker the ways of the Force, but he's really gripped up and kind of mean about it.
He's probably the character I have the most questions about.
Is Joe Mantegna, I think, is he? I've seen him in Godfather 3 and here and there. He plays the dad. Joan Allen is really good as this kid's mom that kind of tries to keep his purity and his innocence and his wholesomeness, his goodness.
His good heart.
Through the cutthroat world of competitive chess, especially youth-oriented competitive chess. This movie, again, came out in 1993, is written and directed by Steve Zaillian, which I didn't have a huge Q factor. That name didn't just pop off when I was thinking about it, but this guy's pretty prolific. He wrote Awakening, Schindler's List, Mission Impossible, wrote and directed the recent HBO miniseries from a few years back, The Night Of, which I remember really liking until I didn't. Also wrote American Gangster, Washington gangster film that I really liked. The Irishman, co-wrote Moneyball with Sorkin. This guy's written a lot of stuff in Hollywood, and I think he did a bang-up job adapting Searching for Bobby Fischer. The father of a prodigy observes the world of chess by Fred Waitzkin, who is the father of Josh Waitzkin. This is all based on a real life story. They've lightly fictionalized some things, some hilarious things that I'm going to talk to you about towards the end of the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's been a good 10, 15 years since I've seen this movie. Again, I thought it held up like a champ. What about you, Jim? What do you think of this movie?
Yeah, I thought so, too. And I didn't really know what I would think of it, because this movie isn't like super exciting. It's got, much like Josh himself, it's got this heart at the center of it, which really could be applied to just about anything. It doesn't need to necessarily be a chess movie. There's a lot of stuff in here about like baseball and the pressure that parents put on young men in particular to like live up to their expectations and earn their love and things like that, which really resonate throughout the entire film with Josh and his chess stuff too. And so you can see that they're, you know, applying it to a larger a larger world than just the chess world, because the chess world is pretty small. I thought it held up really well. I learned a lot of stuff from it, or it took away a lot of stuff from it that I didn't take away 20 years ago when I saw this movie for the first time, because I was approaching it as like, oh, this is a chess movie. It's going to be cool chess stuff, right? I'm going to see the kid beat the bully and on the chessboard, and I'm going to cheer. I didn't find myself so much cheering this time about the win as like Josh maintaining his wholesomeness, his innocence throughout this whole process. Are the kinds of things I took away this time as an almost 40-year-old adult.
Yeah, they make a really good point. And I think I really appreciated how smart this thing felt as far as approaching it from like, these felt like real parents and real kids.
Yeah.
Down to throwaway lines, like when he's wanting to take Josh, he's like, hey, let's do this, and then I'll take you to I guess I got a ritual, like they go to the car place and get brochures for cars. But he's like, yo, grab your coat and go pee. Like, that's every parent of a 6 or 7 year old. That's part of the ritual, because if you don't tell them, they'll go outside without a coat. And sure enough, 5 minutes down the line, they need to stop and pee.
Yeah.
Like I really appreciated that now that I'm a dad, like seeing all that kind of stuff. But I also really, I remember liking it back in the day because I'd seen a lot of sports movies. It's always screaming and yelling and persevering and toughening and like eliminating the weakness and all that kind of stuff. And there's a line in this movie where I think it's Joan Allen, his mom, says, you know, you're mistaking his decency for weakness. And if you try to beat out this thing that you think is weakness is decency, I'll fucking, I don't know, eat your balls or something. I forget exactly what threat is leveled.
I'll take him. I'll leave.
I'll take him. Yeah, because I'll protect him from that.
Right.
And the fact that, like, is winning everything, you know, is humiliating your opponent everything. I this is the first movie I ever saw that showed that, like, you know, maybe it's being well balanced is a thing to be appreciated too. Like, you shouldn't be too extreme in one to the other. I don't know. Like I said, I've seen a lot of sports movies. I read a lot of sports biographies. It seems like you can definitely make a lot of hay with the more tough approach. But also there's a lot of, I mean, my core fandom of being a Colts fan was during like the Tony Dungy era, and he was famous for being kind of like more fatherly with his players and not screaming and yelling and being abusive and being more mild. And he fucking had a lot of success, won a Super Bowl, got to two others. So clearly you don't have to be a raving lunatic like I grew up in Indiana during the heyday of Bobby Knight, and everybody worshiped him, and he was a massive asshole. He's the total opposite. But kind of seeing, I don't know, I thought this was, it's just a really great, quiet film about what it means, what is everything in life? Is it, is it crushing your enemies and driving them before the, or is it leading a well-balanced life with good friends, good family? And clearly this film puts its thumb on the scale towards the latter. But I appreciate it.
Yeah, I do too.
It's got like... I think this is a good little kid performance, and it helps that Josh is a very quiet, introspective kid. So like mostly like he's seen like, you know, we talked about like Beth Harmon, you know, played by Anya Joy Taylor. She's always like a praying mantis behind the board with her, like, you know, hands up composed on her head, composed on her hands and her big giant eyes. You got a very similar effect here, except for Josh is like, you only see him from his nose up above the chessboard because he's such a little kid. But he's got these big eyes and, you know, very soulful. Reminds me a lot of kind of like some other younger actors, like this guy reminds me very, very much of young Elijah Woods.
Okay. I find this kid to be inscrutable. Like,
like Beth Harmon.
Yeah, but in a weird way, like, I can't tell if he's happy in any given moment, if he's sad. It's not that he's putting no expression into his face. He's putting all the expressions at the same time. And one of them is happy. One of them is sad. One of them is, I need to shit my pants right now. And I can't tell which is which in any given moment. So it's hard to read him, and I have to more read the movie. I didn't think it was a bad performance from the kid. I think like this is very kid-like. It's just, you got to adjust to it, I think.
Well, the other thing I think it's you're picking up on that I thought was pretty good is you're seeing Josh filtered through his expectations for these like male authority figures.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple times where he's inscrutable because I think that he's not sure how like being Ben Kingsley wants him to react, or he's not sure what his father is saying, because his father talks out of both sides of his mouth for a lot of this movie. And, you know, Ben Kingsley, too, like they set up this like where you think he's going to be this grandfatherly, you know, like older uncle kind of like a good parental figure to kind of counteract a little bit of the intensity of his father. And then they pull the rug out from underneath you in that. And the shows that like, you know, this guy can be pretty diabolical, too. But then they also pull the you think you got these characters pegged a certain way. And then you find out that, oh, they've got some shit that they're working through.
That's one of the things I like about this movie is how those dynamics are constantly shifting, right? You start out with the Ben Kingsley who wants to come in and coach Josh and is not even getting to chess, right? You think he's building this relationship with Josh and he's doing things the right way, even though the father doesn't see like how this is benefiting him, and he's paying money for nothing essentially. And then over the course of it, it shifts to where the father is pushing the kid more and more. And the coach is not necessarily doing that until then the father has, you know, the mother comes in and says, look, if you crush this kid's spirit, I'm going to crush your balls. And he turns around, the father does, and starts like letting him play in the park, doing things. And then Ben Kingsley, as the coach, starts getting pissed off, right? And that dynamic between all of these different forces in Josh's life are changing constantly. And it does make it hard for both the kid to navigate it and me for reading this kid. So I don't know. I like that stuff. And then he's got other influences. Those aren't the only two, right?
Yeah. I also think that there's a really good score by James Horner that kind of undercuts all this stuff. It makes the chess seem like the time. Oh, man. It makes chess seem so badass. Like when it's like Josh has a meet cute early in where he chases a ball that was hit into the bushes at his birthday party. And on the other side of his bushes is this big, you know, chess park that they have in these large cities. I've never seen one myself, but I hear they're well attested to, where they just have, like, you know, all these permanent board fixtures and guys are playing backgammon and chess and they're hustling for money. And, you know, they have this like almost Apollo 13 type music when he's sees his first piece and sees the guys moving the pieces and dominating each other and talking trash. He's instantly, I feel like, drawn to the competitive part of it. Right.
Yeah, he's fascinated, like, just by
instantly fascinated. Like, I think there's this great scene where he goes home and he doesn't have a chessboard, so he builds one out of his, what do they call that stuff, Playmobil? Like, probably, he's got like a castle set, and he's got all of his knights lined up and a king and a queen, and he's like, you know, going through, he's getting it at like this instinctive and intuitive level. It seems like it's well attested. That's how these prodigies, like, you know, like a guy like Bobby Fischer, for example, just kind of takes something snaps inside of him and it just makes sense.
Yeah. And his parents are like confused in that moment because they don't even know how he learned to play chess. Like, he's what? He played a game of chess in the park against these guys? He doesn't play chess. Well, yeah. Somehow he's learned it. Has he checked out a book from the library at his school? You know, he's probably not going online in 1990, whatever. So there's that. But yeah, it does give you the feeling of like, this is a kid who caught onto something that intrigued him deeply. And you think about kids, like, how many kids don't have that experience, right? Like, maybe they would. Maybe, you know, chess is your thing, but you just don't walk past a park where people are playing chess until you're 17 and you learn, chess is a thing. Nice. Let me get into this. But then, like, maybe you're past your prime, you know, like Bobby Fischer is doing all these things that are super young age. Right. I think 16, maybe he was the first grandmaster, the youngest grandmaster ever. So, like, if you don't have that experience that like triggers that within you, it's kind of a shame. Right. Because maybe that's in you, but you just don't know it.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show, like, you know, there's a lot of value to like offering lots of opportunities to kids. You know, it's like, you know, why aren't Americans dominant soccer players? Is it because Americans are just hopeless at soccer? Is it because, you know, we get pushed into the American football, baseball, basketball pipeline instead of being South American, European kids that get pushed into the soccer pipeline? Why were the Russians dominant in chess and, you know, historically? Because they just take it a lot more serious. They put they put their money and their attention to it. So kids see it as a heroic thing to aspire to.
And it makes you feel bad for some of the other kids in this movie who are being pushed into chess as like the only thing in their life. Like the Jonathan kid, right. John Poe, in this movie, you get the sense that maybe he'd be a great baseball player, but he's never given the opportunity to even discover that baseball might be his thing. And so he's the chess kid, right?
It's funny because like this movie's premise and like the hook, because it's essentially, it's called Searching for Bobby Fischer. It has nothing really to do with Bobby Fischer. There is some archival footage of real footage of Bobby Fischer as a child. And like the movie sets it up as this mystery, as this guy was this dominant and he was this phenom. And he rose to the top, you know, dethroned the Russians like a real life Beth Harmon. And then he just vanishes, like at the height, he just disappears, not just like retires, not lives a secluded life, but literally like vanished. Now, about 10 years after this movie is made, Bobby Fischer kind of starts coming back. You know, he starts playing some online chess. He starts playing The movie that alludes to his first big surfacing where he goes back and plays his old rival Spassky. I mean, at this point, the world had moved on. Like, there's several other grand, like, he was no longer considered the best chess player in the world, but he could have been, just he stopped playing chess. You know, his later in life, it seems like, I would suspect that Bobby Fischer's a little not neurotypical. He got into conspiracy theories. He was a big, kind of anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist. I've seen a couple documentaries where, you know, he got up to some pretty wild stuff, and that's unfortunate.
He seems to have like a volatile personality.
This movie uses that as the hook of like, yeah. Did Bobby Fischer run away from his life because he was overwhelmed with the intensity of the chess? You know, like, to be that good, like, is that something that like drives you kind of insane or drives you away? And it invites you to make comparisons to Josh and how he could have turned out had his mom not been there to be like, God damn it, you're not going to do this to my child. And if the father had been like, you know, willing to take a step or two over the brink of bad fatherhood, if the Ben Kingsley character, Bruce, if he got in his way to like, you know, some of his extreme training methods and his own anxieties and insecurities that he clearly projecting on Josh, if he'd beat them into that mold, you know, would he turn out to be like Bobby Fischer? Yeah, I think it's like I said, it's effective. It's just, you know, Bobby Fischer came back and dispelled a lot of his own mystery before he died to no real good end there. And it's a shame. Yeah.
And a lot of this movie is pretty subtle in that stuff. It doesn't explain. Yeah, it doesn't have like big dialogue scenes where people sit down and talk about Bruce's past trauma, right? And I still have questions around what happened to Bruce. Was he training a kid like John, training a kid like Josh, and the kid lost and he pushed him too far and burnt him out? Was he that kid, you know, 40, 50 years ago, whatever? Yeah. The movie doesn't have a lot of answers. It just shows you that there was some event that is analogous to what Josh is experiencing in this guy's life. And I think it works better for that because I don't need to know that. I just need to know that the guy understands that what he's doing might not be healthy for Josh. And it wasn't healthy for himself.
And the movie shows that there's a little bit of hypocrisy there because he sternly says you can't go to, you can't play speed chess here and there and you can't do this. And you see him later in the movie, like when he's in a low point, he's at the chess park hustling.
Yeah.
So I thought that stuff was really good. And it's also funny. We're talking about the mystery of Bobby Fischer. I guess Bobby Fischer was super pissed about this movie. He felt like this was took advantage of his name and his likeness, and he saw no compensation for it. And he thought it was like a bull, like he kind of mildly insulted at the comparison of this kid to him and was kind of Alan Moore the whole deal.
That's what I mean. Volatile personality.
He's a vault. And, you know, there's a little bit of merit to that. Like, yeah, maybe they should have reached out for whatever, this or that, cut him a check. But, you know, he was hiding from the world, I guess.
And he's really the movie is only using his name in the title. It's not like this movie relies
this
on
not a Bobby
him
Fischer
at all. No
biopic at all. No. Not in any stretch of imagination. Do we want to I kind of want to talk about I guess I should, for people that haven't seen it, which is the most people, I should lay out the basics of this movie. This is the fictionalized account of Josh Waitzkin, who was a real life chess prodigy, and his father's relationship with him. We join it like it's right in the middle of things. It's Josh's 7th birthday. He discovers chess played in the park and is instantly kind of obsessed with it. Why his father, you see, is he probably is big in sports as a child. He is a sports announcer at a prominent baseball team.
It's like sports columnist, certainly.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's a sports journalist. And you can see, like, when he goes into the office, everybody's like, oh, you're going to be a sportsman like your dad. And he's giving him a glove it's like you can see that these are going to be worlds colliding. But they find out that this kid has a very, you know, the parents, this is not something they encourage. They just kind of accidentally find out that this kid is not just good, but he could be great. He has his natural ability, this way of seeing the board intuitively, like Bobby Fischer did as a child. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, well, should we pull him out of his school and put him in a special chess school? Should we take him out of school so he can get experience playing tournaments? Should we pay this pool or this chess kind of shark, $60 an hour to teach him chess. Does he know what he's? It's then these parents trying to figure out, like, what the fuck do you do if you find out that your kid is the 0.00001% in terms of talent? You know, like, what is the what is truly best for the child? And a lot of the drama is that, because this kid is just a real sweetheart. You know, he loves his sister, loves his mom and dad. He's a good teammate. He's cool with all the kids at school. He's in that little thing where he's like a little boy and he hasn't been bullied or bullied anyone yet. Mm-hmm. And everyone is trying to mold him into different shapes. And that's where all the drama. You also have like very strong personalities. You have his father with expectations. You have Larry Fishburne, who plays, you know, one of these street hustling, fast talking, pull your queen out early, trash talk your opponent, mentally dominate them, speed chess kind of guy. You got the Ben Kingsley, former grandmaster, former youth phenom, who's been beat down by the system. You got this. They establish a Cobra Kai type of chess tutor program with an evil master and an evil young grandmaster so Daniel-san can crane kick him in the tournament. They do all the cliches, but it all works.
99% of it works. I have one complaint. We'll talk about it in a second, but
I'm very curious to see what it is.
Yeah. I really, really enjoy like the vast majority of this movie. I was very confused by it when I first saw it, because it says Searching for Bobby Fischer right in the title, and Bobby Fischer is not in this movie. He's not a character. He's simply talked about in the voiceover a few times during the movie.
It's funny, well, when we're cutting the promo of the, you know, we're telling people like this week at Bald Move, because you had written that part and you're like, it's a biopic about the young Bobby Fischer. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm pretty sure it's not actually about Bobby Fischer. It's been 100%. A few years. Like, oh my fucking God, you're right. Yeah. It's kind of, they zigzag where you think you're going to zag there.
They do. Yeah.
Okay. Since like we talked about how the kid himself, is a cipher. Did I talk about, did I talk about everybody that's in this film?
Kind of.
I might not have. It's got Joe Mantegna, Lawrence Fishburne, Joan Allen, Max Pomeranek as the young kid, and Ben Kingsley. We talk about the kid himself being a cipher, and that you kind of understand him through the way he interacts with his peers and the adults in his life. So I thought we could kind of go character by character and talk about this. Like Lawrence Fishburne plays this young chess hustler that lives, I think, in the park. There's a couple scenes where you see him like sitting in the dead of night at a chessboard in the park and pouring down rain. If he had someplace other to go. And it's funny because he's like the antithesis of the Ben Kingsley character. Like, this guy is rough around the edges. Like, he comes on real strong when this mom brings his kid to the park, and there's this old, I guess this is part of the true story. This old Russian grandmaster who used to be a big swinging dick back in the day, who beat this other grandmaster back in the 50s, used to set up in the park and like challenge people $5 a game, you know, and Josh wanted to play this guy. And he gets beat, but you can tell that the guy actually has to, you know, like midway through the game, like, oh, hell, I got to take this seriously. And Lawrence Fishburne's character picks this up right away. He's like, hey, lady, your son's something there. Where you live? What's your name? Write your name. And like, he's like, I imagine like if a homeless guy comes in a park and's like, what's your kid's name? I want to write it down. What's your street address? I'm going to be seeing you guys later.
Right.
Like, that would really be off-putting. But he's the one that kind of bonds with Josh most effectively, and he's actually very harmless when it comes to Josh, where can contrast Ben Kingsley, who looks very urbane and, you know, he's got a home and a chess club and all that stuff. He is kind of like very ruthless and abusive with Josh. Mm-hmm. But the thing I really noticed. Oh, go ahead.
Lawrence Fishburne's character, Vinny, I think is his name in the movie, inspires a love of chess within Josh, whereas Ben Kingsley does everything he can to just stamp that out, right? Like, not intentionally. Yeah. He wants to make Josh great, but he almost stamps out that fire.
Yeah. And the thing I couldn't help but notice about Vinny is, if you want to know what it's like to play a board game with Jim's dad, back in the day, it's this character in this fucking movie.
100%.
The constant, one never ending defeating patter.
Yeah.
That is just pelts you at all times, questioning your wisdom, your intellect, your ability to play the game.
You're playing the board. You gotta play me. Yeah.
The fact that you could ever hope to defeat this gentleman in any game, no matter if it's based on luck or skill, it's futile. It's this, it's like,
it's hilarious.
So much like, this is just like playing the owl back in the day, man.
There are moments too at the end of this where like Ben Kingsley is standing there, arms crossed, watching him play Josh, or watching Josh play John. And he's like, oh, he's letting his time run, trying to intimidate Josh. I'm like, motherfucker, if you saw this kid play in the park against Larry Fish, you would not be saying there's anything this kid could do to intimidate Josh.
Right.
He's
run the
fucking gauntlet. He's proved himself worthy.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way you can ever, but it's great. And it didn't matter. Your dad is like that. Chess, backgammon, castle risk, Axis and Allies,
Monopoly.
Didn't matter. That's Monopoly. He's maniacal.
To the point where I can imagine, like, Josh finds this chess piece, right, that he kind of fixates on in the woods near the park. I just imagine Vinny got beat once. He grabbed the piece and just chucked it into the woods because this motherfucker beat him, right?
Yeah, and I like at the beginning, like, he tries to, like, he's in full Morpheus mode. He's, like, standing straight and tall. You, like, pan down from, like, Lawrence Fishburne's, like, very imposing visage down to, like, his hand, and he's holding Josh's ball.
Yeah.
That Josh went into the bushes looking for. Josh has got his piece. But he keeps, like, Josh, like, no, you keep the ball, I'm gonna keep your piece. And that, like, sets his brain on fire for chess.
Yeah, and it's a metaphor, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, but throughout the movie, it's like the parents being skeptical of this homeless man interacting with their child and finding out that he's the best, like, you know, where the professional chess tutor is going to have a fucking emotional breakdown and refuse to go to the tournament. Vinny is going to be there.
Yeah.
Vinny will hitch a ride and give you emotional support throughout this time. I love that detail. I don't, unfortunately, there's not, other than Vinny is the one that, like, was always boosting and like putting deposits into Josh's, like, emotional self-confidence bank. Cause he's got that, like, he's also got the super trash talk, but he's also got that way that he can kind of puff you up too. Like, oh, there's the move. Oh, you got me now. Oh, I'm running. What am I going to, like, you know, he's like, he plays it both ways. He knows, like, when he's trying to demoralize someone, he can do that, but he can also kind of, like, be your hype man too.
Breaking you down to build you up, right?
Yeah. And Larry Fish is just, he's just really good at it. He's really good at that. Like, you know, in the Morpheus role. You know,
there's not a lot of information out there about this movie that I could find, really, like behind the scenes, you know, and in interviews and stuff like that. So I don't know if he was making this stuff up on the spot, because it's so fast and furious. I don't think you can really script this.
And I could see him ad-libbing all that, like, just like, hey, Lawrence, just talk a bunch of crazy shit and dominate these guys. And he's like, I got it. I know exactly what you want. Yeah. Yeah. I could totally see that. I don't have much more to say about them. I kind of want to move on to Josh's dad. So that's the thing, is like, Josh's dad works to me because he is a good father. He gives a shit. He's involved with his son's life. His son is involved in his life. You know, there's none of this kind of like, oh, he wasn't able to come to your birthday party because this, that, and the other. Like, he's very much involved in all that kind of stuff. But his dad is also real intense. Like, you get that idea that, like, you know, Josh doesn't want to let his dad down. And, like, his mom suggests, like, hey, you know, it turns out her son's kind of good at chess. And he's like, nah, I never taught him how to play chess. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he beats his son's ass in playing chess. And there's this great scene where the mom explains, well, you didn't beat him. Josh just doesn't want to beat you. He's afraid of what you will think. And there's this next sequence where, like, his dad's trying real on the next game where Josh isn't going to throw it.
Yeah.
And so it, man, this movie's so good because, like, they had this buildup of, like, his dad gets to set out and it's like, yeah, see if you can play. And he's got the phone book so he can sit up like a big boy. And then when Josh gets serious, it's like he just grabs the books, throws him down, hunkers down. You just see his nose sticking above the board. It's like, it's on, old man.
Yeah.
And you
see
him.
And then
the
montage is his dad thinking real hard over the board, and Josh is up in the bath. late into the night. Josh is up in the bath, right? And he's like, Josh, your turn.
Yeah, it's at first it's like he's not in the same room. He's playing like he's playing Mousetrap with his sister, and he comes running downstairs and he looks at the board and he moves. But before long, he's just in the bath and he's like, did you move the pawn in front of your king? Okay, we'll move the knight. And like, so you can already tell he's got this board visualized. They do a good job of showing like this guy being a prodigy.
And my favorite part of that is, you know, he's in the bath. He says, did you move that? He's not even talking in like proper terms, right? He's like, move the horse in front of my king. And his dad goes, horse, Josh, it's called a knight, being all like, I'm going to teach this kid. Not understanding
that, like, he doesn't know the terms, but this guy's got the board in his head, dude.
Like, and then when he does move that piece, he's like, did you move that piece? Okay, can we go now? Can we go out now? The game's over. Yeah. And he's like, well, the game's not over. Yes, it is.
Because it's great. And they also in the same scene, they transition to him going to bed at night and him, Josh, being, you know, on the ball enough to realize that Vinny probably doesn't have a place to go. And he's got a top bunk, and he would think it'd be really fun if Vinny could come live with him and teach him how to play chess and live in his bunk and establish that this kid has just got a you know, maybe naive, sure. But as his mom says, you got a good heart, and that's the important thing.
Yeah. And so several times over the course of the movie, that's demonstrated, right? The match against Tony Shalhoub, who's a very minor cameo in this movie, where he's got the candy. First of all, reaching your fingers into some kid's candy bag. Gross. Yuck. I'm not doing that. So many germs.
Extorts him for two gummy bears.
Right. And they sit down and play, and Bobby beats him, and he's in the chess club, right? Like, he's a good chess player. There's no doubt about it, but he gets his ass kicked by Bobby. And then by Josh. Mm-hmm. And as Josh is leaving, he turns around and he gives him the rest of his candy because he feels bad about beating the guy. So,
yeah, guy's got a long face. But the movie is so efficient because now it's like you're a dad and you found out your son's kind of a chess prodigy. What do? You look up the local chess club. It's a great way to establish Ben Kingsley's character because he comes in the middle. It's like, well, yes, I do chess speaking. And my rate is, $30. Well, that's not, you can kind of tell like, oh, I'm down on my luck. Then he's also like not interested in teaching children. This is beneath him. But then he sees Josh whipping Tony Shalhoub's ass. And he takes the father aside and says, like, I need you to leave Josh, but come to the chess tournament this weekend. Mm-hmm. And the movie does a great setup of showing kind of like the pitiful state of chess in America, where it's just like, if your son is successful, you're dooming him to a lifetime of going from tourney to tourney. Like, this is what this guy does. He's got no friends and he makes about $2,000 a year from playing chess.
Yeah.
Like, there's not like if he's doing this, make sure it's for the love of the game and for that, and not for like any kind of like, you know, wanting to be Daryl Strawberry and a baseball diamond or whatever.
And this is where the title Searching for Bobby Fischer comes in, right? The metaphor of that, because I think Ben Kingsley at some point says like something to the effect of like the reason he wants to coach Josh and teach Josh, even though he hasn't done it in a long time, is because he wants to get back what Bobby Fischer took with him when he left, which I think is some amount of pride within the chess community, that this is a thing we can excel at. And this is a thing that can get popular attention, because you get the impression that like chess is on the rocks at that point, and everyone is searching for Bobby Fischer, you know, in good ways and bad ways, right? To both rejuvenate the chess community, but also the negative way, which is push some poor kid into a life of expectations and a life of potential disappointments.
Yeah. And that, the prestige of having a player that sees like that gets national attention and, you know, gets people to see the game the same way that, players do, because they also use a great example of showing like outsiders. Like, there's a scene later in the movie where there's a teacher that is remarking negatively about, you know, Josh, like, hey, you know, Josh seems really obsessed with chess, and I'm sure it's fun, you know, everyone likes their checkers and their Monopoly, but like, you know, what about this, you know, like, he's been going to all these tournaments, he went to Washington D.C. play a tournament, he doesn't even go, and his dad, like, First, but they do a great job because, like, her, his teacher is well-meaning, but she's also, like, a massive bitch in this scene. She's very passive-aggressive and...
played by Laura Linney, and she's great.
She is a very young Laura Linney, and she's, like, very dismissive and patronizing is the word I'm trying to... And, like, Josh's dad, like, you know, comes way too strong, as is his want, but, like, shuts all that shit down. But... like, his dad just is constantly ping-ponging between extreme reactions. Like, that's the reaction where he's like, you know what? I want to take him out of this school and put him in his private school that's got, like, a serious chess program. And, like, you know, he's no longer going to just play with his friends at school. He's going to be playing with, like, serious chess players and all this stuff. They start introducing the dark side. Like, there's this brilliant setup at one of the first tournaments where the chess referee or the administrator is giving the stern, like, look, I want clean games. I don't want any abuse or bad language or poor sportsmanship. And the camera spins around and you see that you think he's talking down to these kids.
Right.
It's all the fucking parents.
Yeah. And you can see the kids totally being insane, right? They're animals. They're climbing on shit. Like, this is happening in a gymnasium at a school.
Yeah.
And they're climbing up on the bleachers and pads and running around. But the parents are like what he's actually concerned about because he's been through this rodeo a few times.
Yeah. But it's like I feel
and then
like
eventually
that's a
like the parents get out of line and he has to lock them in the fucking basement. In like literally lock them they're in a cage in the basement.
Yeah, it's like the Blues Brothers bar scene where like they're behind the chicken wire. There's like getting pelted with glass and shit. Like, and they got this one little kid that's running like updates for the game, like for the big game. Like Josh is doing this, Josh is doing that.
Yeah,
and there's the whole William S. the passive aggressive like William H. Macy plays one of the parents. He's got a bit scene too, and you know like Josh's father and him are both like in this kind of like passive aggressive compliment. Like, oh, your son's got my son where he wants him. And, oh, well, I'm sure like it seems like it's a bad move, but I'm sure. But you can see how insincere it is because every time William H. Macy turns around, he like his dad makes eyes at the other father that he's kind of taking a shine to. Like, ah, Josh is going to kill this motherfucker.
Yeah.
But it's and right there is where because like Ben Kingsley shows up and it took me forever to get a good read on him because when he first meets Josh, he doesn't even bother playing chess. They play Monopoly. They play checkers. They do all this other stuff. Like he's like doesn't want to spook Josh, right? And there's a one time where Josh has no interest in playing chess, so Ben Kingsley gets his baseball on, and they take turns like throwing the ball against the wall of the chess club and fielding and doing all this stuff. But there's this early scene where he's trying to teach Josh to think moves ahead visually, and Josh is having a hard time. He goes, let me help you. And he just violently sweeps the pieces off the table, throws them to the ground. And like the camera goes to Josh and like Josh is shocked and we're shocked as an audience. But it turns out that technique helps. Like somehow decluttering the board lets Josh, I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. I'm not a chess player. I've never been able to think more than two or three steps ahead. The movie kind of trains is like, well, was that abusive or was that just like, you know, he's a really good chess teacher and he knew that's what he needed in the moment. Well, eventually the movie kind of back and forth goes and he pulls out there's other great scene of Ben Kingsley where he's got the Grandmaster certificate. Like these are like, you know, it's like he takes this certificate out and he's like, you know, this has only been handed out a few times in human history when someone attains the rank of Grandmaster and you, through your skill and demonstrating to me, your teacher, you earn these Grandmaster points. And I write them down in this, like, it's this thing. It's like this clear. It's like, what a great teaching technique. And then there's this point where the Cobra Kai kid is established, which is high comedy.
Dude.
He's exactly like Josh, except for he's a dick.
Yeah.
You know,
this kid. Yeah. This is the part of the movie where it stops working for me in some ways. But
yeah,
keep going. We'll talk about it.
Well, it's like he's the opposite because like he goes to the Ben Kingsley's chess club and he says he wants to join. But instead of like paying attention respectfully or offering people candy, this kid is snickering at the other players play and openly mocking them. And, you know, the Cobra Kai chess master is saying like, oh, well, this kid doesn't play base. He's clearly talking about Josh. He's talking shit about his pupil that has become kind of notoriety in the chess club. And he's like, this kid just eats, breathes and sleeps chess. And he eats, eats other children for breakfast. And it's just this ridiculous, like over the top evil grandmaster scene. And that you get. So you had this idea of like, what has Ben King? My headcanon is Ben Kingsley was this guy's former child pupil when he was Ben Kingsley's age, and that he warped and twisted Ben Kingsley into this. And when he shows back up, Ben Kingsley just kind of loses his mind. He's like, oh, my God, this is what Josh is going to go against. And he's going to get destroyed mentally. And I got to prepare him for right. that. And everything goes fucko.
Yeah. Yeah. There are definite like act divisions in this movie. You can tell where act two starts and act three starts. Structure is pretty prominent. And the way that they like use those turning points to kind of show you, you know, the influence on Josh, and also like we're in a new gear in this movie. Because there are a couple times where the true nature of the way they're pushing Josh is sort of revealed. Like there's a scene where Josh is worried that he won't win at the tournament, and he tells his dad that, right? And his dad doesn't say, well, it's fine. You don't have to win. Like, you just need to try. And instead, his dad says, you won't lose. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, that's a terrible parenting tactic right there. You're just telling this kid that if he does lose, you've just lost. He's not only lost the game, he's lost your respect. That's exactly the opposite of what you want to do. And Ben Kingsley, you know, eventually gets mad at Josh and takes those masterclass certificates about and says, okay, you want your masterclass certificate? You're going to be a baby about this. You're not going to buckle down and study. Here's a certificate. All right. You want another? Here's another. And he's pulling them out of his briefcase. There's Xeroxes.
Do you want 20? Do you want 30?
Meaningless, right? Nothing. He says, yeah. The way that worm turns on Josh at some point during this movie, like kind of breaking up the act structure of this thing, I think is really good.
It's good because like right at the second, the turn from second to third act, like it's like Josh like his dad has pulled him out of school, pulled him away from his friends. He's no longer playing baseball. He's forbidden to play speed chess. There's these looks of like him going past a park and him and Vinny are making sad puppy dog eyes at each other. Like they're not allowed to talk to each other anymore.
Yeah.
And he's Josh as a kid. He's like, well, how do I get myself out of this? Like, I'm going to throw a game, but she's too kid stupid to know that he should at least make it look good.
Right.
He throws the game. So then his dad's seven on him like, moves. Oh, this seven moves. You're dead. This is bullshit. This is clearly bullshit.
And then the rain, man, that's so fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah. Because like they're clearly free and he's not going to go home until Josh has a rational answer for why he lost. And there is no rational answer for it. And then Ben Kingsley's going to a lesson where he's trying to teach him contempt of like,
yeah.
You know, and then like, thank God, because I forgot how, because like I was like feeling really bad for Josh during this, like the grandmaster points, like these are meaningless. They mean nothing. This is just stupid. His mom walks in on the tail of this and throws Ben Kingsley the fuck out and then puts her foot down with the dad. It's like, and you can see that brings us out of the second act slump into the third act, because now Josh is going back to his old school. He's hanging out with his old friends. Mm-hmm. He's playing as a kid. He's playing baseball. He's no longer afraid that if I excel in chess, my life will become this Bobby Fischer hellhole. And
it is. They let him play speed chess again in the park. He goes back and he finds that love of the game that was motivating him in the first place. Not the winning, not the contempt.
Yeah. And then there's like, you know, Vinny's like, you got to learn to play. Like, you can't be afraid of defeat. You got to play on the edge of defeat.
I don't know how much of Vinny's stuff makes sense.
Yeah.
Got to play the man, not the board. What the fuck does that mean?
And then you can compare that to like, there's a scene of Ben Kingsley. Like, I think it finally a spell's broken for his dad where he's like, Josh can't play in his tournament. He's not ready. I was irresponsible for push this. You have no idea like what a fall like this could do to him. And his dad's like, I think I got a pretty good idea, because he's seeing Ben's insanity.
Yeah.
And his like his own lack of self-esteem and his own obvious signs of abuse and all that stuff shining through. And then like the third act is pretty much exactly what you think. He goes to a chess tournament. He's invigorated by his newfound love of life in the game. And he beats this. But there's this moment that I don't know that I've ever seen in a sports movie where, you know, like he pulls out his queen too early. which is what Vinny always tells him to do. And everyone thinks it's a bad idea, but Vinny, but then he's just luring him into a trap. And there's this nice rhythm. There's a really nice rhythm of the piece moving and stuff. It's very, you know, this slapping the pieces down, hitting the time clock and all that stuff. And then you see Ben Kingsley and Josh realize simultaneously that Josh has got to win 12 moves into the future, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And Josh gets it. And because he's also a decent kid and he knows what this kid's life is going to be like when he loses. So he offers him a draw so they can share the championship. And this kid, of course, is not emotionally ready to accept that offer, contemptuously smacks it away. And Josh beats him, of course. And you can see his chess, the evil chess master takes him and he's screaming at him on the sidelines. And it's great. It's like, I've never seen the kids, Danielson always just kicks the guy. Like the guy cheats, sweeps his leg. Miyagi massages his leg and then Danielson just kicks his ass.
Right.
There's none of this what if we just do it? I thought that was it blew my mind back in the day. And I still think it's a great grace note for the film to show that Josh doesn't have the killer instinct and can still succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that message. And it's a unique message. One I also don't see very much in film. I'm confused or I'm torn by this whole final chess scene because I think it does have a great rhythm. It also has what I think is the only really cheesy bad thing in this movie, which is earlier in the film, Josh, you know, was intimidated when this new kid, Poe, John Poe, came in to play chess at the chess club. And then he sees him in the park and he's out playing chess in his home turf, right? And he's kicking the asses of some of these street hustlers. And Josh walks up and this kid says something as he beats some guy. He says trick or treat, right? As a taunt. Mm-hmm. And it's so fucking cheesy. It's so stupid. It's so no, sorry, this is a movie. You've got to have some badass line. And I thought this was a badass line as a kid when I saw this movie when I was, I don't know, either early 20s or late teens.
Trick or treat.
I was trick or treat. And when he busts that out in the tournament against him, because he does this thing where he moves his queen out too soon, like you said, but then he sacrifices the queen to take the other kid's queen. And then at that moment, he retorts trick or treat back in this kid's face. Mm-hmm. So fucking cheesy and stupid. I hate it now. I loved it back then.
Yeah.
But there is a rhythm to this game that I like. And
yeah.
It does have a satisfying conclusion. I will say I am a cynic and I look at this and I go, So remember how we said that this is based on a book and this is also based on a kid's real life. Well, guess who wrote the fucking book? His dad.
Kid's dad.
How much of this actually happened? And I saw in the Wikipedia article on this kid in this movie that there was actually a scenario in which he did offer a draw. But what I found out behind this, the background of this is that the game was going to draw anyway, because what was going to happen is exactly what I think happens in the movie is they were going to end up where the opponent only had their king left. And in that circumstance, the game is declared a draw no matter what. And so you look at this and go, well, did the kid turn down the draw because he's a dickbag? And did Josh offer the draw because he's a good kid? Or did they both just see that this was going to be a draw and the kid's play it out because I might beat you anyway?
It is. That's the thing is the chess is a little ridiculous because when Ben Kingsley said it's there, it's 12 moves ahead. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's impressive. It's just a pawn advancing.
Right.
It's just two pawns moving to the back rank and one gets it slide. I'm like, well, OK, this isn't nearly as impressive. And yeah,
and they apparently changed it from the real game that happened because they wanted it to be more based around queens. Yeah, because Josh takes his queen out early and all that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
and also, I read that the kid that's the actual arch villain kind of was like, well, this sucks, as I wasn't a bit dick. I wasn't like anything like this kid. Why did you?
Yeah.
And I thought, honestly, I think the Cobra Kai thing was bullshit. I think what they should have had is just Ben Kingsley's old teacher who is brutalizing the kid and having that kid. He doesn't have to be this sneering villain. You can kind of and you know, you feel sorry for him, the way Josh would feel sorry for him. But I don't know. It was a little much having this kid was old enough for a mustache, he'd be twirling it constantly, and his teacher would too. It's crazy.
Does chess allow adults to play with kids? Because I know this is a Scholastic tournament, which let me just say right now, these pieces, so many boogers on these pieces. It's just a gymnasium full of children all picking their noses so and moving what pieces.
One of these girls flips her eyelids out in the film, like, and it just like complete, like, I'm like, just I tweeted about it, like how repulsed it was. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think so. Cause like Bobby Fischer, like there was real life footage of him playing like as like a 10-year-old against like 12 grown men.
So then they probably, for tournaments, I think it would have been cool to have the teacher of Ben Kingsley's character, Bruce, to have him playing in a tournament and Josh just come beat him. That would have been pretty sweet too.
Yeah. Or like the Miyagi, one of the favorite scenes in Karate Kid is like when Miyagi swears off against the Cobra Kai dude. And you're like, he's not going to, but Miyagi could totally kick this guy's ass if he had, you know, like it. Yeah. There needed to be, cause like, I feel very sorry for Ben Kingsley's character at the end of all this. I don't know. Maybe he resolved some of his shit by seeing Josh resolve his. But like, this guy's a broken man with like.
Yeah. The thing I like about this ending, the way it plays out with the Cobra Kai shit and everything, is that it does allow Bruce a win by not forcing this kid to play by the rules he was given by this dude. Right. Like. If like his life was destroyed and his love of the game was destroyed by the teachings of this dude, he's not doing that to Josh. And therefore, he's making Josh a better person and even a better chess player than his new protege, which is toiling away under the structure of all his chess teaching. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That works for me there.
But on the other hand, like, yeah, but on the other hand, if Ben had got his way, he would have ruined them.
Yeah.
Like, it's only for the love of Josh's mother that he got spared that fate.
True. But I think he's learned a lesson alongside Josh, right?
True.
They both in, and his parents have learned. Well, his dad has learned. His mom's always been good. Everybody's learned something by the end of this movie, which I like.
I love that. There's also this great thing where they got the shot of like the. Josh and John are playing alone in this big championship. And after John gets beat, he walks down the hallway and there's this crush, a flood of people. it's like a kid standing on the edge of the beach when a tsunami hits and the camera doesn't linger on it. But this kid is just walking down the aisle he gets destroyed by a crowd 12 wide and 150 deep. Just trampling on this kid. He's just there. It's terrible. It's terrible. Everything was like very sterile. I wish the parents weren't such dick bags because like all the chess, they felt very sterile because it's just the kids in the room, this big giant cavernous room moving stuff. But
yeah, I guess, are you supposed to understand that parents misbehave at every single tournament?
I think, yeah.
And so they're always removed.
Yeah. Like it's like, there's always going to be one parent and then everybody else gets punished. And I'm like, I don't know. Like keep the kid. Wow. Yeah. Definitely keep a caged area with the TV, but maybe just throw one or two parents in there and then word gets around. But I guess I've seen that's a real life issue with kids sports. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it with my nephew going through it. Like it does. Parents do get a little like this dad. It's so easy to see that how he can just get completely obsessed. And there's also like, the first time Josh won the chess trophy and his dad beheld it. And it's almost like Gollum getting the One Ring. Like you get the idea that like maybe his dad was a much better sports reporter than he was ever a sportsman. And there's this reflected glory. And you can see like that is it is like my kid played sports a little bit. And when they do well, it's like parental heroin, man. I can't even imagine what it'd feel like to have your child having a chance to be the best of the best of the best at something.
Yeah.
And how like it must be very hard to navigate that line of like, well, you wanted them to encourage their natural talent and ability because, you know, all the reasons why you want to do that. And kids are famously lazy and want to get out of shit. And they're not long term thinkers. But where's the line between motivating them, pushing them and abuse? And I think this movie is a great case study in like where all those boundaries are.
there is, we mentioned how this movie is not necessarily about the chess per se, and there's a glaring chess flaw in the final match, like the height of the big moment here, right? They're starting up this match, and Josh hits his clock, starts the kid's time, the evil Cobra Kai kid's time, and the kid lets the time run, just sits there staring at Josh, right? And they cut to Ben Kingsley, and Larry Fish is like, what is he doing? And Ben Kingsley's like, he's letting the time run to intimidate Josh, which is laughable. But then they do a cut, like a B-roll shot or something, to a chess clock, that chess clock on the table, and it is conspicuously wrong. If you know anything about chess timers, when an opponent's time is running, their button is up. Mm-hmm. And when they slap their button down, it pushes their opponent's button up and starts running their time. It's exactly the opposite of the way it should be if this kid's time is running. His button is down.
Weird.
And Josh is playing black, so you know he's got the second move. And so, like, it's just completely wrong, and it's such an easy shot to get. I don't know why they fucked that up. If they maybe, like, flipped the shot or something.
Like I said, they were very vague on all of the chess in this movie. And like the final game, the brilliant 12-move victory was just a simple pawn advance against a one. And, like, it's like, I could have seen, like, oh, he's going to get to the back row one move ahead, and it's all going to be over, kid. Like, yeah, I mean, this was not like we talked about it with on the clock with the Queen's Gambit. This wasn't like, you know, you didn't have a grandmaster doing the chess behind this stuff. I think it was. Not like, in fact, you didn't get an. That's the thing, is like you don't have to know a damn thing about chess to appreciate this movie, because it's not about the brilliance of the play or studying the opening moves or all that. It's just literally about the psychology of prodigies and parents and teachers, and, you know, how do you get people to excel? Like, what are the how do you encourage something like that without them getting lost in it? Into some kind of maniacal single focus.
And it does really, really succeed in that. Yeah.
Really
I like this movie a lot.
So that's it. I think we got I got the chess worked out of my system. I got the Queen's Gambit. I got my ass kicked by a couple of really shitty chess programs. And then I saw Searching for Bobby Fischer. I think I'm done. Well, that'll do it for Searching for Bobby Fischer. Next week, we'll be back with another prestige film, Road to Perdition. Have you seen Tom Hanks play a heavy? Have you seen him play a violent thug? Well, you're about to. It's a great film. It's another pretty cool character study of a father-son relationship. Didn't plan it out to be, but it is. Prohibition era Tom Hanks being a gangland enforcer. It's a great movie. Check it out. We'll be talking about it next week. Until then, I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See you, everybody.